anybody that grew up, you know, when I grew up, you know, the 30s and 40s, Lent was a big, big part of the year, much bigger than it is now. Everybody was aware of it. I'd remember at the masses leading up to it, people would be, their attention would be drawn to the fact that there was fast and abstinence for Lent.
Yeah.
And that meant something. It meant on Wednesdays, as far as I remember now, Wednesdays and Fridays in particular, you could not eat flesh meat, they say. And then, of course, that created a demand for the fish. Mm. And then you were also restricted to one full meal, in it, you say, two collations. The first time I heard that word spoken in a church, it meant, I suppose, a snack, really.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. People that worked very hard in different types of jobs, many of them farmers, working in industry and so on, hard work, but they kept the fast, as people said.
Well, I mean, yeah. I suppose it's a very alien idea, if you like, to us today, because the
idea of
voluntarily giving up stuff like that just doesn't really register with
and,
us anymore.
The fasting, it lasted for the full Lent, really, but you were allowed meat except on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
But people kept the fast, as they say, and didn't make a big thing of it. And it was another thing at the time as well, that you had to go to communion fasting. And I know people that would be up maybe at 5 o'clock in the morning, again, the farming community, that it may be 3 hours work done, the milk taken to the creamery, by the time they'd get to Mass, and they couldn't even have a drink of water.
Mm.
So people, you know, with a religious bent, it was much harder to be, if you like, a true member of a religious, you know, any type of religious society at that time.
And do you think it was a good thing, or do you think maybe we're as well off to see that gone?
Well, in a way it was a good thing, because, number one, it was discipline. It was something that came around and people agreed to do that. And not alone that, but people seemed to do extra. The number of people that would give up smoking for Lent, that would give up drinking for Lent, or even drink in moderation during Lent. I think that's all good. It's good for the spirit, I suppose it's good for the soul, but it's good for the personality. It develops discipline in lots of ways. So. I think, in a way, it's regrettable that they've passed away. At least I think there should be maybe a remembrance. There should be one day in the year or 2 days in the year where people simply would, we'd say, not eat meat. It's not that meat, there's anything against meat, but, you know, to change, to put people thinking. But those days are gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I suppose, though, now that we're maybe looking at harder times, in a way, the last thing people want to hear about is giving up more stuff or giving up things.
Yes, people just give up things maybe for the wrong reasons. They just give up maybe to save money for the summer holidays, for the week when the races will be on locally. Maybe even to be fitter for the football team, the hurling team, the rugby team or anything like that. Ulterior motives, but it was there, and if it helped in that, what was wrong with that? But I think at the moment as well that people would do it, you know, we'll give up the drink in moderation. Naturally there should be some surplus money that can be put to some other use. So I think it's lasting in a way, and publicans always say that there's a drop in their takings during Lent, and some people would say thanks be to God, but you have to think of those people as well. But for a while, and I think Lent, it's a thinking time, the same as Christmas is as well.
Yeah. And you're also involved with the Pioneer Association, who this Lent are trying to encourage people, or rather re-encourage people, to go back to giving up drink for Lent, or at least drinking in moderation.
Well, like thousands of people, I became a pioneer at confirmation. It was looked upon as part of the confirmation. Everybody took it. Now, I happen to be one of many people, really, that kept it and felt it was no encumbrance or anything like that, and actually see a lot of benefits in it. But people nowadays, I think the trend should be towards encouraging people to drink in moderation, because a lot of people drink and there's nothing along against drink, but drinking too much, that can't be good for anything. So to drink in moderation should be the message that would be preached all the time, and then some people will listen and hopefully more and more people will listen as time goes on.
And I suppose, too, you'd want to try to highlight the spiritual element of it, because you mentioned, you know, people were easily encouraged to give up drink or something that's not good for us, purely for our own health reasons. Yeah. But, you know, what is it that you're trying to encourage?
I think the spirit of abstaining from things is really to abstain from something that you liked, that you enjoyed, and the drink and the smoking and... I never heard of anyone giving up sport for Lent or anything like that. That might be asking too much. But yeah, to give up something that people enjoyed, that was widely practiced, again, to get them to think in other ways. And there would be a spiritual benefit in it as well. And, you know, to think of the motives behind the founders of movements like the pioneers, all that comes into it. And, maybe it will be revived and it will become stronger in times to come than it is at the moment. It's gratifying to see the number of young people now that they're pioneers and they say, well, we won't drink until we're 18. I think that's good. It's a move in the right direction, and with the right type of advice, I think there'll be increasing numbers taking that view.